Welcome to Fox Valley Church. My name is John Sitzler. I'm the lead pastor. I'm excited that you decided to listen to this message. Isaiah 61 states that we can be like great oak trees planted by the Lord. That's our goal for you. Yes, you. So as you listen to this message, be ready for what God wants to bring to your attention. I believe that you're going to encounter God as you listen. I really do. Are you ready? Let's discover what God has planned. It's Easter! You'll get there. I'm excited. I was thinking this morning when I got up that I start to get myself excited around 6 o'clock on Sundays, much less for Easter. And I'm excited because this is it. This is what God had been planning the entire time, that we could have new life. And we've, like I said earlier, we've been on this series called The Road to New Life. And we found this Bible verse in Matthew chapter 7. We looked at it a few weeks ago, but it simply says this: the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Man, we talked earlier about how the road conditions on the road to new life aren't always ideal. In fact, sometimes it's really hard, but it's not like any other road. Every road, as a human, it can be hard. But the difference is, when we're on the road to new life, we have somebody walking with us, and he helps us get through. But we can go even through the difficult times, understanding that we are victorious, understanding that we're a conqueror. We can walk through the troubles and the trials we have with confidence because Jesus is with us. We also talked about how sometimes in life there are good times. The road to new life isn't all bad. I just want to kind of take that away, because sometimes we can think, man, if I really give my life to Jesus, everything is not going to, it's going to be not fun. It's going to be hard. Things are going to be difficult. And yes, there are hard and difficult things, but there is so much fun. In fact, God even wants to invade those difficult times with true peace, a peace that can come inside of us that's a supernatural peace. Jesus said he gives a peace that the world can't give. It doesn't have the capacity. When we try to find our own way and figure things out the way that we think that they can be figured out, or the way that the world tells us it gets figured out, we don't have that peace. And we can't receive that peace. But when we give our life to Jesus, he gives us that supernatural peace that's hard for us to understand. But we can experience it. We can experience that peace. And on Friday night, we gathered here and we celebrated Jesus' death on the cross, his sacrifice for us. We didn't throw a party with balloons and cake and things like that, but we remember and we think about, we meditate, we focus, and we offer ourselves up to the Lord again, because sometimes there are those low road moments. There are difficult times. But Jesus said that he had to die in order for a harvest of new life. And when we put to death those things that shouldn't be in our lives, we can trust that Jesus is going to take that dead thing and somehow he's going to make a bunch of new and better things come out for our lives. But when we hold on to those things that shouldn't be in our lives, it stops the growth. It stops what God wants to do. And even in those hard times, when the Holy Spirit often, he'll bring to our attention some things that need to get fixed, some things that need attention. And if we cooperate with him and we work on that stuff the way he asks us to, he can bring new life. Well, today, the title of my sermon is Arriving at Your Destination. And so we're going to talk about our destination. And I don't do this very often because I don't really find myself very funny. But I've got a joke, so hold with me here. And this isn't my joke, so blame Dwayne Fairchild. This is also a Easter churchy joke, so it's going to be a little bit weird. Pontius Pilate, the man who, you know, condemned Jesus, he says to Joseph, the man who gave Jesus his tomb, "Joseph, I really don't understand. You're one of the richest men in the region. You've spent a small fortune on a tomb for you and your family. Why are you giving it to this man, Jesus? And Joseph said, it's just for the weekend. Okay, Dwayne, we made it. I was pushing it off on him so I wouldn't get in trouble. Hey, before we get going too far, I just want to tell you something. God's listening to you. He hears you when you talk to him. He's listening to you. And I want you to know, too, the battle that you're fighting, you don't have to do it alone, and you don't even have to win the victory yourself. The battle is God's, and he can bring the victory. And here's the other thing. Sometimes we get caught up in our own stuff, but you need to understand that God is doing supernatural things all over the planet right now. Right now. There are millions upon millions of people who believe in Jesus. And God is equipping us by his Spirit so that we can go out and do things. And sometimes when we get caught up in our small perspective, we can think everything is the end of the world. But we need to remember that God is bigger than our entire world, and he's working even at the end of the world, what we might think the end of the world is, because reality, where Jesus lived and where we are is really more the end of the world. You ever been up to Ontonagon in the Porcupine Mountains? It says, end of the world, 1 mile. Upper Michigan, some people could say, is the end of the world. But I want you to understand that God is a big God. And he's doing big things all over the planet in people's lives, just like me and you. He loves every single human being. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Well, let's get in. In Luke chapter 24, if you have your Bibles, or if you have your Bible app, you can open to Luke 24, or if you have the Bible app, I've got sermon notes in there so you can follow along with everything we're talking about today. But we're coming up on Easter Sunday. In Easter, we celebrate that Jesus is risen. He died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says that when we do things wrong, our paycheck for that is that we die. Humans were never supposed to die, but we've all done things that are wrong, and it stopped us from living life the way that God intended for us to live it forever. But he made a way to change that, and that's what we're talking about, the road to new life. Jesus came, he lived his whole life with never doing anything wrong. There wasn't another single human being who's ever lived who could do that. Jesus was the only one. And because he never did anything wrong, when he died on the cross, he paid enough for every single human being. The Bible says Jesus died one time for everybody. Everybody who would ever come and ever exist has an opportunity to come into new life. And they put him in the tomb, in Joseph's tomb. But today we get to celebrate what happened next in the story. Luke 24, verse 1, it says, very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. The men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? That is such an amazing statement. Why are you looking among the dead for somebody who is alive? God had to send some messengers from heaven to make sure it got through, the message got through. But he got the message through. And sometimes even in our lives, we are looking for answers. We are looking for what we think is good in the wrong place. We're looking for life where those things only bring death. Those things only bring destruction. Those things only bring difficulty and turmoil and keep us further and further away from God. But these angels said, you're looking in the wrong place. The reality is Jesus had told them all before, when I raise from the dead on the third day, I'm going to go up north, meet me there. And they didn't go. They went to the tomb. So God had to send these angels to say, he's not here. He's alive. Don't be looking here for what God has. He said, remember what Jesus told you back in Galilee. that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. He's saying, remember all those times he talked to you about this day. He told you this day was going to happen. And here's the amazing thing about Jesus. He told his followers how he was going to die. There's a lot of ways he could have been killed in those days, just like there's a lot of ways for violence to happen in our world today. But Jesus told them specifically how it was going to happen. Jesus also told them specifically down to the day of how many days he'd be dead and when he'd come back to life. When was the last time you walked up to somebody and prophesied about yourself? The police are going to come and get me. They're going to throw me in jail. They're going to actually execute me. But don't worry about it. In a few days, I'll be back from the dead. First of all, don't do that. Second of all, it's just another of a multitude of proofs that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is God, because he actually, every detail of what he explained was going to happen actually happened. And not only the prophecy was true, what actually happened was miraculous itself. Somebody who was dead for 3 days actually came back to life. I don't want to make the prophecy bigger than the resurrection, but it all comes together, and it's all amazing about who Jesus really is and who we can have our confidence in, and knowing that whatever comes our way, whatever problem comes our way, Jesus has been there and done that. He knew it was going to happen. He went through it anyway, and he got victory over it anyway. So the same thing for us. He knows what's coming our way. He knows that we're going to be victorious through it, and he's going to bring victory into our lives and help us to overcome it anyway. We need to start. Okay, come on. That's an amen part, guys. Now, I know if you're not a churchy person, you may not understand how church works. When I say something good or exciting, you say amen. That's churchy for yes, okay? Or that's right, or you're right, or whatever. But whatever is going to happen and whatever comes your way, God is going to do some great and amazing thing. And my brother is texting me right now. My whole family knows that I'm a pastor and I got a job. And my brother, next time he's here, we're going to get him. We're going to come up with a plan. I didn't mean to make you all so vindictive like me. But here's the truth. Sometimes we forget what Jesus told us. Sometimes we forget that word that was spoken over us. Sometimes we forget that Bible verse that he brought to our attention. Sometimes we forget that he's near to the brokenhearted. Sometimes we forget that his thoughts about us are more than the number of pieces of sand on the seashore. Sometimes we forget that overwhelming victory is ours. Sometimes we forget that just because we go through struggles doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It actually means the opposite. When we go through struggles, what it actually means is that we have overwhelming victory. And if you've been in any church length, if you've been in church any length of time, I want to encourage you. Don't forget those things he said. And when you're going through it, remember those things that he said. In verse number 8, this is what he said. I got a little bit ahead of myself. Verse number 8, it says, then they remembered that Jesus had said this. They remembered. It's a simple statement, but it's powerful. Maybe you've been there like I have when I'm really going through it, and I'm getting down a little bit. And then I remember that Bible verse that says, why are you so sad, soul? Put your hope in God. Sometimes when I'm really going through it, I'm starting to get a bad attitude about it, or I'm starting to give in to the anxiousness or the fear or the doubt. And I got to remember, wait a second. That overwhelming victory is mine, and I can actually do it. And when we remember what Jesus already said, we don't have to ask him for something new for him to tell us. Maybe you've had kids, maybe you've been a boss, maybe you've got a friend, and you tell them something, and they never remember. And you got to tell them again, and you got to tell them again, and they come to you and say, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, I wish you'd listen. Sometimes God doesn't need to give you a new word. Sometimes you got to remember what he said to you already. I am very convinced of this, especially us churchy people. We are so better informed than we are obedient. We know the stuff that's in the Word of God if we've been in the church any length of time, but we don't live it out. And that makes it easy to forget. And it's not like we forget the actual words. We forget the power behind the words isn't actually living them out. And he's got some great things. And on the resurrection day, these women who had gathered to anoint Jesus' body, all of a sudden they remembered. You ever had one of those moments where everything just kind of, and it just makes total sense? You're working on a project, or you're working on the car, or you're doing something else, and everything's not working, and you're getting frustrated, then all of a sudden, oh, right? We've been in those moments, and we can have those moments in our lives on a daily basis when we remember what God has already said. And they rushed out, and they said, we got to go. We got to tell everybody what happened. Can you imagine going to the cemetery and where you were just there a few days ago, you saw them put the coffin in, and you go to the cemetery, and all the dirt is moved, and the coffin is there, and it's open, and there's these brilliant angels standing there saying, he's not in there. You would freak out too. But when you finally remembered, you might do the same thing, and you might rush, and you might actually tell everybody that you could find, this is an amazing thing that just happened to me. And if you are a churchy person, I'm going to get to you non-churchy people in a minute, but just hold on. You churchy people, Jesus has already done that in you. You're not dead anymore. You're not in the grave anymore. You're not in the tomb anymore. You're not in your old life anymore. You're not in sin anymore. Even when you mess up, there's forgiveness in this relationship with the Lord anyway, so you can keep going. You've been filled with the Spirit. You've been set on purpose, and we need to start moving forward and be who God wants us to be and go out and do what he asks us to do, and we need to run. You're getting better. Verse 13, that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that happened. Now, these people aren't aware that Jesus has come back to life yet, but they were some of Jesus' closest followers. And it got so bad for them. Not only were they like the ladies at the tomb, but they actually left town. And sometimes when we face disappointment and struggle, the one thing that we want to do is be away from everybody. And sometimes we want to find somebody else who is going to wallow in our misery with us. And we say, let's you and me spend a lot of time together. You know what? Let's get out of here. And they're walking about 7 miles on the third day. They had heard Jesus say, on the third day, I'm coming back to life. And they didn't believe it. They didn't understand it. And their life is falling apart. And we're going to talk about the details of that in just a second. But sometimes in our lives, too, we walk away. We want to avoid the pain. We want to avoid the struggle. We want to avoid the battlefield. You can't win a victory if you're not in the battle. Avoiding battles is not what God has called us to do. He's called us to engagement and victory. And we can't be walking away. Look at what was happening here. Verse 19, Jesus shows up. They don't recognize him. They're walking along and they're talking about these things. And Jesus says, what things? And they explain the things that happened to Jesus. You can tell they didn't recognize Jesus because they were talking about him, and he's walking right there with them. The things that happened to Jesus. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all people, but our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped. Everybody say hoped. He was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. 3 days ago, their life came crashing down. All their hopes and dreams came crashing down. and they even started walking out of town. And their hopes, they had hoped, past tense, they weren't hopeful about Jesus anymore. And they were walking it out. And you know what? Sometimes we get disheartened too. There's lots of reasons to get disheartened. We all face those kind of things. But don't walk away and don't lose hope. Later on, they arrive and they start to eat lunch together. In verse number 30, it says, as they sat down to eat, Jesus took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. In verse 31, suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, Jesus disappeared. Verse 32 says, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them and who said, the Lord really has really risen, and he appeared to Peter too. So now we got the ladies at the tomb, we got Peter, and we got these two guys. Jesus is just making it happen. And then in verse 35, then the two men from Emmaus told their story, how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. It says, within the hour, they had already gone 7 miles. They sat down to eat. All of a sudden, they realized it was Jesus, and they're like, we got to get back. We got to get back to where we're supposed to be. We're not where we need to be, and we need to do it quick, and I need to do it in less than an hour. I need to get there. I need to make it happen. We all want things to happen in our lives very quickly, but how often do we respond quickly to God and say, God, you're moving too slow? And God's like, wait a second, I'm not the one that's moving slow. I'm not the one who's actually going the wrong direction. I'm not the one who's given up hope, even though I have never failed you. I'll never fail you. You've given up hope. And God doesn't say that to dishearten us more and push us down more. He says that there's a different way. And you need to start moving. And if you feel like you're stuck or you feel like you're going the wrong way, I want to tell you, you can get right back on track. You can do it right here, right now, today. You can start talking to God while I'm preaching. It's called silent prayer. God knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. And you can start talking to him if you've been going down the wrong way. Maybe you've been doing stuff that you know is just plain wrong. Maybe you're even a churchgoer and you keep doing that stuff. You need to change it now. And if you're here today and you're not living for the Lord, why wait another second? If God can bring Jesus back from the dead, imagine what he could do to the things in your life. And if he's got the power to change people, millions of people over the course of 2,000 years, he can get involved in your life too. But we got to respond quickly, just like these guys did. Speaking of quickly, let's move on to verse 34. Verse 34, when they got back to town, they all shared their stories about seeing Jesus, and the people in Jerusalem, in verse 34 it says, they said, the Lord has really risen, and he's appeared to Peter. You ever so convinced that you're really convinced? You ever so excited that you're really excited? How about this one? You ever so hungry that you're really hungry? There's a different force there, right? There's a different motivation. There's a different strength. There's more to the story. There's more that I want. And they said, not only, and I looked this up because the Bible, the New Testament was written in the first century Greek language, and that word really means really. It comes from the Greek word meaning really. Actually, it comes from the Greek word meaning truly, but it's the same thing. But really and truly, they were convinced, they were convinced, they were convinced that he was risen. But it gets even better, because even though they really and truly said that God, Jesus had come back to life, look at verse 36. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. They had just said, really and truly, he's alive. And when he actually shows up, they freak out and they think he's a ghost. You ever been there, you're telling the story, and then all of a sudden you're like, did that happen really that way? We all have those quick turnarounds, don't we? As quickly as we need to get back on the road to where God has for us, we also need to remember that as human beings, sometimes we quickly get off track too. It can be so simple as that. Jesus actually appears to everyone, not just the two guys on the road, not just Mary at the tomb, not just Peter. Everyone was standing there, and they were ready, and they were talking about all these different things. But I want you to know that Jesus cares about meeting you personally. Jesus does a lot of big-time stuff and worldwide, galaxy-wide things, but he also cares about you so much that he's numbered every single piece of hair on your head. That's what he thinks about you. He knows you so individually that he knows that very down to the detail. We already said before, he knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He thinks about us all day. He's got all these things. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? That right now he's praying for you. Somehow he's got the supernatural ability to pray for everybody individually just in their personal circumstance. And Jesus is a personal God. He's not some force. He's not some entity you can't figure out. He cares about individual people. And you know what? Sometimes when he shows up in power, it can be scary. It can be frightening. I've been in the presence of God sometimes, and I'm nervous. And I get down on my face, and I'm like, what is about to happen next? I've seen God move in amazing ways, and I've actually felt his presence in the room. And it's been frightening to me. It's been scary to me. And I can have a reaction some of those times, like, "Bah!" But that's okay. Jesus can handle it. Look what it says in verse 41. Still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Right? We have all these things. He's really, truly risen. He's a ghost. I don't believe. But isn't this amazing? Humans, we're weird. Jesus just says, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Jesus knows how to deal with your uncertainty. And you can be excited about God and uncertain about God at the same time. And Jesus can say, okay, let's sit down. Let's deal with that. Jesus has the ability to prove himself to you. That's what he was doing. They could see him and recognize him, that it was him, but they still didn't get it. And he said, okay, I'm going to do something so that you understand what's going on. And you may have a lot of questions, and you may have a lot of uncertainty, and you might think, like, you know what, these churchy people, they got it all figured out, and they've had this experience that I've never had before, and I don't get some of this stuff. I want to tell you, Jesus wants to prove it to you. And he ain't scared of what you're going to ask of him to prove it to you. But just be ready. He might prove it to you in an entirely different way, and be ready for that. I've seen God do, and I can't tell you how many stories of all these different things, and how God worked in people's lives. And he's still doing that today, and he still wants to work in you, and he still wants to do something great in you. And he's not afraid of you saying, God, do this so I know for real. So that I know for sure. Ask him that. Ask him that. I've got no problem telling you and everybody on YouTube and everybody on Facebook to ask God to prove himself to you. He'll do it. Now, just remember, when he shows up, you might freak out. You might be filled with joy and wonder and still not really totally get your hands around it. Go through that process with him. It's like getting to know anybody else. It takes time to get to know each other, much less the creator of the universe. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As high as the heaven are above the earth are his ways compared to mine. I'm not always going to get it. I'm not always going to understand it, but I can experience him, and I can know him. And Jesus sitting here, it's amazing because this is actually two verses right here. Verse 42 is they gave him a piece of fish. And verse 43, they cut a sentence in half. and he ate the fish. But whoever was putting the Bible verses, the numbers into the Bible, because this wasn't originally written with all the numbers in there, the chapters and the verses, somebody who was putting this all together said, I need to stop and make this one verse and make this a different verse. Because everybody 2,000 years from now needs to understand that they gave him some fish when he asked for some fish, and then he ate the fish. And you need to stop and think about how Jesus ate fish after he died and after he came back to life. He ate fish. Now, a lot of people have been eating fish lately because it's Easter and Lent and you know how all that goes. And plus, Friday fish fry, obviously. If Jesus was here, he'd probably be a fish fry. And he wants to come into your life and be real and prove it in that unique and powerful way. Sometimes we do get excited and we still don't believe, and it's okay for our faith to grow. There's a difference between having faith and not letting it continue to grow, and having faith and helping and cultivate it to grow. Why would we plant anything in the ground and never expect anything to grow out of it? I got seeds, that's good enough. Maybe we don't even put it in the ground, we just leave the seeds in the garage or in the garden shed or whatever. I've got the seeds, that's all I need. It doesn't need to grow. Seeds are good enough. But there's a lot of people inside and out of church who maybe I believe Jesus was real, but that's it, done. Not realizing that that little acorn that you put in the ground can turn into a 70-foot oak tree. And that's what God wants for your life. He wants you to cultivate and grow that faith and become strong in your faith so that you can continue to grow. We're starting a new series next week called Priority. And we're going to talk about, over the next several weeks, a priority that sometimes we don't have in our lives that may be missing from a lot of our lives. And it's not about getting yelled at next week. It's about, I don't want you to keep the seeds in the packet. I want you to put the seeds in the ground and watch it grow in your life. And we're going to talk about those things in the next few weeks. Sharice, would you come? Look at verse number 44. Jesus said, when I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Remember when I said that Jesus made his own prophecy about himself and it actually happened? He said, I went through the entire Old Testament, all 39 books, and I told you all the things that were talking about me, and they all happened. Hundreds and hundreds of prophecies from hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus all actually happened. And in verse 46, he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of Jesus' name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem, that there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. We're going to stop right there for a second. Verse number 47. It was written about me a long time ago, hundreds of years before I came, that my story was going to be talked about with authority, that there is forgiveness of sins for people who make a change. And it's not about me proclaiming the good news on a church Sunday. It's about us in our daily lives cultivating relationships with people so that we can have the opportunity, the credibility and integrity to say, I have to tell you something. Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. And you can speak with authority. You don't have to speak in fear. You can just say the fact of this is what actually happened. And I can prove it to you from the Old Testament, the New Testament. You just say, you want me to prove it to you? Fine. Let's read through the Bible together this year and we'll talk about it. And after 1 year, no, I don't have that kind of time. You don't want to know? Do you know how long research projects take? They usually take years. You say, give me a chance. And if you're praying for them, and you don't even have to wait to go through the whole thing. You say, listen, you can believe it without knowing everything yet. And you say, just look at my life. Let me tell you my story. And you can, with the authority of Jesus Christ himself, you cannot speak in your own strength, but you can say, in the name of Jesus, let me tell you a story. And you don't have to be afraid. You can step in and step up. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes all of us. There's plenty of times I mumbled and fumbled trying to tell someone about the Lord. And there's plenty of times I didn't know somebody and I just started talking to them. And there's plenty of times I talked to people I knew for a long time. But there's also 1,000 times that I've been able to tell people about Jesus Christ. And it's not about my great words and how fancy and how smart I am and all these different things. It's about the authority given to me by Jesus Christ himself and the authority he's given to you. You have the authority of Jesus on your life if you have faith in him. And he has got a mission for you to tell other people about him. And it's a simple thing. Jesus said, hey, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. You know those people who haven't forgiven you yet? You know your spouse or your parent or your friend that you're not close to anymore? Because there's no forgiveness. That happens with us and God too. But God's different. He forgives us. Other people don't. He does. But there's a catch. You have to change. It's called repentance, but just means change. Change from the way you do things to the way God does things. And when you do that, you live in a state of forgiveness. That all the time he wants to forgive you and keep going on. Look at verse number 48, and you are witnesses of these things. These people, this isn't a storybook and a fairy tale and a fiction statement. These are firsthand written accounts from more than 2,000 years ago of what actually happened from real people who saw what really happened. And guess what? You're a witness too. You're a witness to what they say, but you're also a witness to what God has done in your life. And just tell your story. What has God done in your life? And it's just, it doesn't have to be overly complicated. Just say, I'm forgiven. Do you know how amazing that is? In cancer culture society, there's forgiveness. You can have confidence. Jesus is walking the road to new life. You can have peace beyond your understanding. You can tell the most captivating and mysterious story in the history of humanity, that Jesus died for sinners like me. And I'm forgiven. You can be a witness to say that Jesus was alive. God became a human being, never did anything wrong, and they killed him for it. But that was part of God's plan too. I know it's weird, but 3 days later, God brought him back to life again. You can be a witness for that. Listen to what it says in John 14, verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you'll always be with me where I am and you know the way that I'm going. Verse 5, no, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can I know the way? Verse number 6, Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the way, truth, and life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now, this is what I want you to understand. The destination, as we arrive at our destination, the destination is not a place. The destination is a person, and his name is Jesus. The road to new life does not end at a physical location. It doesn't even end when we get to heaven. The road to new life is where we are walking along with Jesus every single moment, all the time. If we are going to arrive at our destination, we've got to walk with Jesus. And as we're walking with Jesus, whether we're on earth or whether we're in heaven, we're in our destination. Yes, I have hope that someday Jesus is going to return. He's going to take me to heaven. He said he's got a place prepared for me in heaven. When it's ready, he's coming to get me, and I'm excited about that. But that's not my destination. My destination is being here with you this morning. My destination is having dinner after church. My destination is what I'm going to do tomorrow. My destination is next week and next month and next year. And me, from now into eternity, my destination is walking with Jesus. That's my destination. And we need to arrive at that spot and to that destination. And if you're here today, and we say this in church because it's kind of weird, we call it walking with the Lord. But Jesus actually walked with people. He walked with these two people, had given up hope, and had believed things about Jesus that they thought weren't true anymore. And Jesus just said, let's walk for a while. Let's sit down and eat together. And then all of a sudden it clicked in their head. And maybe that's you today, because you don't understand yet that Jesus has been walking alongside of you, even though you haven't been walking alongside of him yet. And whether you're at home watching online or you're here in this room, you can start to walk with Jesus. And we say this all the time. It's out of Romans chapter 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, that means he's the boss now, not you, not what culture says. And you believe in your heart what we're celebrating today, Easter, that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And I had to make sure I got the wording right, because the next part is really amazing. It is by believing in your heart you're made right with God, and by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. When you do that, everything changes and you arrive at your destination. Yes, you're still heading toward heaven. Yes, you're still going to dinner after church. But you've actually arrived at your destination because you're letting Jesus in and you're deciding to walk along with him, because he's the way, he's the road, he's the gate, he's the destination. So I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision right here, right now. And I'd like everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. And if you're here today and you want to start to walk with Jesus, you're ready to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to make it simple. You're going to raise your hand and pray a prayer, and that's all you got to do. So with every head down, every eye closed, if you're here today, you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to walk on the way, just raise your hand. I'll cross this room. You want to give your life to Jesus. Okay. Who else wants to join? Okay. Who else wants to join? Okay. Who else wants to join? Okay. I see that hand too. Okay, I see that hand too. We're going to wait a second when we're here. We're not in a hurry. You're ready to get to the destination, and he's Jesus. You want Jesus in your life. There's been several raised their hands already. Okay, there's another one. You can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. Now, we're going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray it out loud. But here's the good news. Everybody else is going to say the same thing, so you're not singled out. But just simply repeat after me in church. Would you join me? Just say, Jesus, I believe you came back to life, and you're my Lord. I want to walk with you. I want my destination to be you. Come into my life. Let me walk with you. Amen. Can we celebrate with those who gave their life to the Lord today? I forgot to bring this when I got up here, but we have a little book we want to give you if you gave your life to the Lord today. And it's just called Now What? And it talks about some things about what this is really all about a little bit more. It's a 7-day thing, so you can just read one little thing a day and just help you connect in life. But I don't want you to leave without maybe telling whoever invited you, or maybe a friend, or we're going to have some of our prayer team come up in a moment and you can talk to them. But there's a little something else we need to do, because it's not just about celebrating Jesus on Easter. It's about an everyday kind of faith. It's an everyday walk. I don't know about you, but I walk every day. I travel distances every day, and I need Jesus every day. And sometimes we forget about Easter. Just like all of Jesus' followers, they all had been told Jesus was going to come back to life, but they didn't remember and they didn't understand. But what I want you to do today is make every day a glorious day. And glorious day doesn't mean there's no problems. Glorious day means that God's going to bring his glory even into hard things. Glorious day is, yes, I'm going to have a happy day, and it's a glorious day, and I'm going to ask the team to come. But a glorious day is also doing more than that. And I want to tell you how to make every day a glorious day. First thing, and it's all right here in the story of Luke chapter 24. The first thing you need to do to make every day a glorious day is remember what Jesus did. Remember what he said. Remember what Jesus said. Remember they were in the garden and the angel said at the tomb, do you remember what he said? And when they remembered, everything changed. And if you want to make every day a glorious day, you need to get into the word and understand what it says. You need to cultivate and remember those prophetic words and those words of wisdom spoken into your life that people gave you. You need to remember, if today is the first day you gave your life to Jesus, you need to remember this day and what you heard Jesus say, because all I did was tell you what he said. The second thing you need to do is rush to tell others what Jesus is doing in your life. I mean, rush. Remember those ladies? They ran. They said, I'm not walking. I'm not going to wait here a minute. They were a little bit better than the two guys who went 7 miles, but they had shorter to go, so they could sprint. If you want every day to be a glorious day, rush into the presence of God. Wake up in the morning, the very first thing, and say, Jesus, I love you. I want to walk with you. Jesus, you're the way. Lead the way today. And you need to rush and start telling people. If you gave your life to Jesus, I just said that, tell somebody today. If you've got a story about what God has done in your life, tell your story to people. If God is working something in your life, because I know people who've been walking with the Lord for decades and sometimes decades longer than me, and I love hearing their stories about what God is doing. We need to tell our Jesus stories and the activity of God stories to one another and encourage each other. If you want to make every day a glorious day, quickly respond when Jesus is working. Remember those two guys? They were 7 miles away, and they were tired, and they just had lunch. And guess what? We're going for, instead of a 7 mile walk today, we're doing a 14-mile walk today, because we got to get back there. We got to get back to where Jesus wanted us to be in the first place. We got to get back to Jesus' presence. We got to get back exactly where he wants me to go, and we need to go now. Don't wait. When Jesus is working, when he's asking you, when he's telling you to move, don't hesitate. Move forward. The next thing, make every day a glorious day. Talk about the resurrection. We don't need to keep it to Easter Sunday. Our best friend was dead and now he's alive. Talk about it. Let's talk about it. Can you imagine if you talked over breakfast with your family about the resurrection? Can you imagine if you walked into work as much as you're able to and talk about the resurrection? Can you imagine when you got together with your friends and you talk about the resurrection? That would kind of flip your day around, wouldn't it? The next thing, I love this one, really, truly believe what Jesus did. Remember where they said? He's really risen. Not kind of risen, like maybe he did, or yeah, he rose from the dead. No, it's real. Really, he did that. Really, he did that. Really believe that. Really. Make that really attitude a part of who you are. Here's the next thing. Keep growing your faith. Don't leave the seeds in the sack. Plant them, water them, protect them. Sometimes you need to put a fence around it, but you need to let that grow. And like I said, next week we're going to start this series called Priority, where we're going to talk about all these things. But if you really want to have a glorious day every day, here's the last thing. Be a witness for Jesus. You know what? It can be really hard, but there's nothing more fun than telling people about Jesus. And remember, don't say, under the authority of John, I'm telling you about Jesus. Say, with the authority of Jesus, Jesus asked me to come and talk to you. I have to tell you this. And I'm not just telling you this because I want to. I'm telling you this because my boss told me to. I'm telling you this because my king told me to. I'm telling you this because the guy in the room with us right now, he told me to. Because he loves you. He wants you to experience forgiveness and a different kind of life. I just want you to make every day a glorious day. Every day, a glorious day. If we connect and walk with Jesus, taking every step as a conqueror, when our confidence is in us, but in the one who defeated sin, death, and the grave, we're actually walking and not standing still. And we understand that Jesus, by his Spirit, is moving us forward. We'll be in our purpose. Do you know that you have purpose? Every step you take has a purpose in your job and at your school, in your home, while you're shopping. I can't tell you, I'm not a shopper, but I like to go shopping because I meet people. And every kid, if they ever are staring at me, they're like, I don't know why they stare at me. I think there's something here, but I don't know. I just say hi. And they get to talk to their parents. I said, your kid's staring at me, and he's pretty cool. Hi, kid. Hi, parent. What's your name? I'm John. But even knowing in those little things that we seem so unimportant, that there's purpose there, and God can do something. When you're playing, you can have purpose because Jesus is there, and you're being rejuvenated because he's there, and you're having fun with your friends and with your family every single moment. Do you know what would happen if we all lived every day as a glorious day? We bring attention to Jesus by the way we walk. You ever notice somebody who walks a little different than you? Especially those that got a lot of confidence? That's us. Because I'm about to have a glorious day. And it's not just because it's Easter and everything's good and I'm off work and we're having a ham soon, but it's because every day is a resurrection for me. We walk with Jesus so we don't bring him into the situation. He brings us into every situation. And if we have a glorious day, everybody around us is going to know about it. And I love to celebrate. After a pre-service prayer, do you know what usually happens? And you can ask the people who are in prayer. Usually this is what happens to me after we pray a pre-service prayer. Are you ready? It's going to be bad, but I just want to show you. This is what happens. I get excited. Because I know it's going to be a glorious day. Because I know God loves you. He's going to work in your life. And it doesn't have to be only on Easter. It can be tomorrow morning. It can be Tuesday. It can be every day. You can have a glorious day. So one of our team members, I'm not going to name who it is, but their name sounds a lot like Abby, suggested that we sing a song today. So would you stand with me? And we're going to sing a song called, guess what? Glorious Day. And it's all about what God has done in our life. And I want you to go out of here celebrating because it's going to be a glorious day and you can have a glorious day every single day. But let's start right now. Let's use this Easter feeling we have right now and this presence of Jesus time that we have right now. And let's just praise him with everything we have. Go ahead, Pastor Daniel. Like I said at the beginning, God had something specific to talk to you about today. And I'd encourage you to take a step right now. What is something you could actually do based on what God brought to your attention? It could be the action step that was brought out in the sermon, or it could be something different. Just take a step. The Bible says when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. If you're ever in our area, we invite you to participate in person during one of our Sunday worship services. In the meantime, to keep up with everything our church is doing, go to foxvalley.church or download our app and search Fox Valley Church wherever you get your apps. God bless you.